Hello, I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good.
Hello and welcome to the SC Ballers podcast. I am your host and coach of the Terrace Crew, Matt Ricks. Super coaches can finally breathe a sigh of relief, if only momentarily, with most or all or almost all guns back on deck this week, with sit-start decisions providing the biggest headaches for super coaches for the upcoming round. We're going to take a look at how to navigate your sit-starts tonight on the Baller Blueprint. While skies are clear this week, darkness is on the horizon as we enter the guts of the bye period. Here to navigate the storm with me tonight, it's coach of the Casa Bonitas and former third place overall finisher, Danny Boy Ricks. Danny, welcome back to the SC Ballers podcast.
Yeah, g'day, Matty. Glad to be here. It's been a couple of weeks, I think, since I've been on the pod. So, yeah, good week to be on. Post the first bye, the first mini bye, and then, yeah, planning for the rest of the bye period.
How have you navigated the last few weeks? I know it's been a bit of a roller coaster headline by Paul Alamotti.
Oh yeah, it's been very tough. I know when I listen to podcasts, I don't like people just telling all the sad sob stories. Sulky Jay was on the Sunday Snap telling a bit of his the other day. But yeah, Alamotti, Fogarty, Turbo, like the list is big. But yeah, manage a 12:26 on the weekend. It's salvageable. Just outside the top 1K. So I've got a lot of numbers for 15. So hopefully, I think I've on about 15 or 16 players. So hopefully jag a big score there and then get rolling again.
The yo-yo season continues. I'm sure plenty to get stuck into the night, get you back in that top 1K. Also joining me tonight is making his pod debut. It's Supercoach community member, overall 16th place currently. Absolute gun. Very handsome young Gen Z man. It's Finn, coach of Faf and Coolo. Finn, we're very, very pleased to get you on the pod, not only because you're young, because you're absolute super coach gun. Welcome.
Mate, I appreciate the kind words. I don't know how put a little mail on that, but pleasure to be here. I've been a big fan of your work for a while, so you guys are doing a good job here.
Mate, as I said, you're 16th overall. You've had an absolutely cracking start to the season. What's gone well for you so far?
Probably I've put a big emphasis on managing trades and a lot of luck and injury luck and stuff like that has allowed me to save trades and kind of not go too out of the box with some decisions, and it kind of just snowballs. Or snowboard from there.
Very good. And how are you placed for the remainder of the bye period?
I had a look, and I'd say my numbers are pretty consistent. I've got about 13 or 14 for the other major bye rounds, and I'm sitting at about maybe, it's hard to say with Origin players, but maybe in that 16 to 21 range for the other minor buys. So I try to give myself some flexibility to move, play it as it comes.
Are you worried about a particular round at all, more so for your team, for your setup, 16 or 19 for those minor buy rounds? I know they're the two that are sort of keeping me up at night.
I reckon a couple of days ago I would have said 19, but now with so many targets that have emerged the last couple of days that don't play 16, I'll actually probably say 16 now. It's a bit more worrying, especially with the Perth travel for the Origin boys.
Yeah, that's certainly looking tricky. And this week again, these Manly targets just seem to keep prevailing each week. Lehigh and Olakau'atu particularly. It's going to be very interesting, and I'm sure we'll get into those targets as we get into the pod. Gents, before we get stuck in, just need to run through a few administrative tasks. Of course, the league code 730444 for the $5,000 in prizes. We can finally announce tonight that league closes in round 15. So make sure, if you're not in, to join this week or next to be eligible for $3,000 overall and $500 for second to fifth place. So it's a really good major prize. We do have to give a shout out to Jake, coach of the Special K's, who is leading the group 1332 on the weekend. He's fifth overall. And Neil, who's 11th overall, 1357 on the weekend. Some massive scores. So well done to those boys who are out there leading the comp. And I do want to announce that we are going to have another prize to be announced in the coming weeks for another league, which is going to start later on in the season. But that's going to be massive as well. So make sure you jump in there, 730444. And yeah, make sure you're eligible for those prizes. Baller.live, head along. We've got all the live scores. We have some major announcements later this week regarding Baller.live. We've got some features dropping very soon that we're really excited to tell you about. And we might even talk a little bit about them on our watch along this Thursday night. So this is a first, I believe, in the Supercoach community. We'll be having a live stream on YouTube. We are partnering with Aman Talk Supercoach, who most of you will know out there. He's a very, very popular content creator in the NRL Supercoach space. Ripping fella as well, and a very, very good analytical mind. So yeah, Thursday night, Knights versus Manly, 7:30 p.m. You can sit there and watch every heartbreak, every sin bin, every point as we watch the Knights Manly game with a Supercoach lens. Tubes is going to be joining me as well, I should say. It's probably one of the most important Supercoach games of the season. Dan, I know you've been keen to see this for a while. Will you be tuning in from your office, I presume?
Yeah, I'll try to. It's a little bit hard to listen along when I'm one-on-one with a patient, being a physio. But yeah, I might just step out of the room.
No one cares about that shit.
Tune in. That sounds. Nah, looking forward to it. Should be good. I will watch on the replay, I think. First one off the bat. Yeah, should be good.
Something we're really, really keen on for the watch-along is to have massive community engagement and just people who are watching to get involved. We're going to have Q&A. We're going to have a Young GI shirt giveaway. I think it's actually the last Young GI shirt that we have in the office. It will be given away as a prize on the night. So please don't miss it. We'll send out details. You won't miss it on our social media channels tomorrow and Thursday. And yeah, can't wait to give it a crack. It's going to be a lot of fun. And Supercoach just doesn't stop at the start of the first game. We want to make sure that you're enjoying Supercoach throughout the game. All right, boys. Finally, make sure you check out on social media, X, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, at SC Ballers, at SC.Baller on YouTube. Let's get stuck into it with the Baller Blueprint. Now, I mentioned at the top of the pod, sit starts, and I wanted to get into with you guys about how to approach sit starts with such deep squads this weekend. A lot of teams have very 20 or 21 playable sort of guns this week, I would say, or close enough to guns. And I want to get your guys' thoughts on how you approach sit starts when you've got so many playable options. This is really the first weekend of pretty much the whole season where we really got to make some key calls. So I'll start with you, Finn. How do you approach sit starts generally, and what are your sort of dilemmas that you need to think through this weekend?
I'm not sure I'm the best guy to answer this personally. I know myself and a few others would have a lot of roosters, so it's kind of like a mini buy round for me as well this week. But just generally speaking, I know matchups would be a big determining factor for people. People would probably look to play, like, for instance, like another center wing over another forward, because a lot of people would have five or six or seven really playable options.
Dan, in terms of like risks for sit starts for you, is it minutes? Like, would you be trying to avoid guys with downside on minutes, or are you focused more on their matchup or just overall general capability?
Yeah, I think I don't really want to bring anyone in at this stage that's getting poor minutes. Like, and you're definitely not playing, say, the likes of your guys who are there for maybe the major buys, 15 and 18, the likes of LKT, Hubner. This week is just such a strong week, and it's probably something I didn't realize That's and I probably didn't load up on Roosters. I think that's turned out really good because it's such a strong week across the board. You can carry a lot of Roosters and still be fine for that 17 and 18 players. Whereas now, like this week, I mean, probably a lot of people are in the same boat, like so strong across the board. What I'm looking at, I'm not obviously not near the top ranked around 1200. So I'm looking for the more high upside guys, probably play max amount of center wings. So I'm probably going to play six center wings this week, who all have decent matchups. So probably just looking for the high ceiling guys. If I was up the top like you boys, I'd probably look for a bit more meat and potatoes, probably play one or two reserves in the forwards, because you know they're going to punch out that 65 plus, and it's a nice security blanket to have.
Yeah, if as long as Greg Marju plays this week, I'm probably going to have to decide between him and Tarpany potentially, or even even guys like Fletcher Sharp. Scott, I have to play Scotty Drinkwater because Turbo's out, so he's taken up the fullback bench spot that's needed. But Finn, like, would Tarpany be a kind of guy who you could potentially look at sitting, just given the uncertainty week to week around his minutes?
Yeah, definitely could make a case for that. I'm not sure why his minutes really took a downturn last week. That might be because the Raiders haven't had a bye yet and Ricky's managing his guys on the run. So if you're, like, in your case, Marzu versus Tarpany, I would probably look to play Marzu. So just a case of, like, a centre wing versus a forward, I'd probably look to play Marzu in that situation.
Yeah, I think I'd be the same as long as Greg lines up. I think to Dan's point around the high upside versus the stability, I think if any of these gun center wing guys, unless they've got a really bad matchup, you're generally going to want to roll them out because most of them have got such a safe floor anyway, and they've all got these massive ceilings that you want a piece of. Obviously, someone like Tarpany does have quite a big ceiling, but it's all relative. As a front rower, he really needs attack to sort of hit that ton. So I think that's the way to play it. If they are center wing guns, if they're not center wing guns, then I think you can sit them. Then you know they don't have the best matchup. Fletcher Sharp's an interesting one this week. I'd say he's probably, if he's back at 5'8" and they're playing Manly, he's probably one you could look to sit at centre wing. Obviously, that's pretty tricky, and a few people are actually selling him this week. But yeah, Dan, is that how you'd be approaching it as well? Like for those centre wing guys?
Yeah, I think so. I really rate Fletcher Sharp. I think even at 5'8", he was still getting ball. And he was getting a lot of he gets a lot of base as well. I think he was getting 20 plus tackles. A lot. So I'm really keen to play Fletcher Sharp this week. I don't think Manly are exceptional either. I think they were a bit flattered on the weekend playing Brisbane with the likes of Carrigan and Haas backing up from Origin. You know, they lose those two and they're falling very short in the forward pack. So yeah, I'm playing Fletcher Sharp. I'll be happy to play him this week.
Yep. We will be doing Q&A, as I mentioned, on the live stream. So not to forget that we'll have the baller projections for all the players this week. And projections is obviously one piece of the puzzle because there's obviously upside and downside with these guys. But we will be delving through those projections as part of the Q&A. So if you do have sit-start dilemmas, make sure you jump on the live stream. We'll probably run the power hour as well, which we've been running, been very popular on X. Spit it out in a sec. We'll make a call on that. We might just try and get it done on the watch along as well. Should be good fun.
What about Andrew King? Put him in the circus. Put him somewhere. He's too good for this game.
Let's get into positional analysis now, guys. Starting with fullback, and tonight, as part of the positional analysis, I want to have a bit of a lens on how we're structuring up these positions, particularly center wing, halves, and the forwards. So fullback's a little bit more simple. We're trying to find the best options. Going to start tonight with Kalyn Ponga, Dan. He is currently 559K. Reece Walsh is interestingly back for the Broncos this week, putting his origin job on the line, I suppose. We know that Billy's a big fan of Reece. If you were holding this long, and I know you did hold Kalen for a long time earlier in the season, would you be sticking fat with Kalen, or would you be looking to move him on?
Yeah, what are the... I mean, you can probably look it up while I talk, Matty, but the stats on actually who owns Kalen Ponga still? Like,
yeah, he's still 80% owned in the top 10%.
Yeah, but I mean, so your thought process is you're holding through round 12, you're holding through round 13, and then you're going to sell him now? Like, that's... I just don't see anyone who's going to do that. So it's holding firm on that. Maybe if a fullback goes down next week and he's out of the Origin side, if Reece Walsh is picked, yeah, he might be a pickup at the price, because they've still got round 15, 16, 17 to go, and they play round 19, I believe, which is going to be one of the toughest. So you're getting 4 out of 5 games out of him. But from what when I was an owner, it was horrific to watch. Like, the Knights in general in attack, it still looks dire. So I wouldn't be touching him.
Ben, Tommy Turbo obviously was a very popular purchase a couple of weeks ago when they played the, who'd they play that week? Can't even remember. 2 weeks ago, he then missed, it was Parramatta. He then missed the game against the Broncos on the weekend. He's obviously out again round 14. Manly have said that they're going to play him next week against the Titans. I do you take them at their word there, or, you know, there's already been a few coaches shipping Tommy on? Like, it's a bit of a conundrum for those who bought. And so I'll just start the question with, do you own Tommy?
I do not. But yeah, I don't know. That's a real tough one, because, on the one hand, he's bottomed out. He's going to come off 2 weeks of rest since he's confirmed out this week. But, yeah, I'm not sure. I'd be reluctant to take Seabold's word on the injury. I don't think he really looked that fit when he came back. And, yeah, it's a real tough one.
Yeah, who's been out with a cork for a month? Right? Like, it's really weird with this myofascial injury. I mean, obviously there's probably a psychological component to Turbo's injuries now. Like, it's just absolutely gone. But I mean, it's a very juicy matchup, Titans for round 15. And I think he can take on Teddy in that respect. But I would say anyone who owns Turbo, like myself, I am planning to try to have the cash to go straight to Teddy the week after, or have the cash to go someone else the week after, because unfortunately, the way it looks now, it's just so volatile. He could miss any week, even with a minor injury. So I'd be holding this week, play him next week if he's playing, and then plan to move him on when they've got the bye in round 16.
Yeah, that's my plan. So if he doesn't play next week, I'll do him to Tedesco. What about, though, Dan, those guys who own Teddy and Turbo? So there will be a group of those people who own both, and that means they'll have no flex position this week. Could you move Turbo on this week in that scenario?
Yeah, I think you definitely could. You could probably put anyone you want really in the flex. Like, you've got to make it a two-play trade if you're not putting a fullback in the flex. Sorry, a two-round trade, because you probably want to then move that person to the flex into that position. So you want to look, is there a second rower? Is there a center wing who you may be moving on next week for the round 15 bye? And you can keep a flex that's not the fullback. But also at the same time, you could just pick up another fullback. I'm not sure who. I wouldn't be going to Ponga. I wouldn't be going to Walsh this early on. So you're a bit stuck for who you would actually pick up.
Probably be JC, yep. And then looked at and then move JC up to 5'8 then. Finn, how are you structuring your fullback up at the moment, and then looking to keep that going through the buys? Because it is pretty tricky to navigate. I know it's causing a lot of headaches for super coaches out.
Just for my personal side, currently I have Tedesco, Pappenhausen, and Drinkwater. I was, like, if you asked me last week, I was going to say, yeah, I'd hold these three for the foreseeable. But I've actually looked at potentially selling Drinkwater this week. Just because now with Lehigh, I know Lehigh is going to be fullback this week, and then there's the early unexpected return of Kiraz. I have looked at flipping Drinky and potentially buying him back later, maybe before round 18. Obviously, end game, people would want three gun fullbacks to run home with, but I think it just depends on opportunity cost and trades that you have left.
I think that's pretty spot on. I think, like, we say it every week, but, like, the team, it's very team dependent. I own Drinkwater, Turbo, and Pappenhausen, and I started the week sort of keen to sell Pappenhausen. They play Storm twice in the next 5 weeks, or maybe a bit longer, but they play Storm twice anyway upcoming. Dan, they just have those really good games, though, against the Finns in round 15 and the Titans in round 17. And just with this lingering Turbo doubt now, it just feels a little bit greedy for me to be trading Drinky out in that situation.
Yeah, for me personally, I've got to hold on to Drinky. I bought him for his lovely 14 that week at 900K. So this is, I was talking to Finn pre-pod, like the trades this year have just been diabolical. So I've got to hold on. It's a bit of a sunk cost fallacy, but I don't mind Drinkwater. I think he's going to bounce back. I think what's been a real issue for Drinkwater is this new connection with the 6-7. I don't think Purdue at 6 has been great for him. I think it's a little bit muddled at the moment. But I think if that starts to click into gear, Drinky starts to get back on. Like he had a pretty bad game apart from his solo try effort he scored. And he still got a 71. Yes, Melbourne are going to be tougher. I think Melbourne edges are a bit leaky, and that's where Drinky does his best work. So I'm very happy to hold on. I can see a play where, like Finn said, like there's some centre wings that are absolutely juicy. You can play through the bye period without three gun fullbacks. I don't mind that little bit of flex, and that's what the flex opens up this year.
All right, moving down to the centre wing position now. One of the most interesting positions of the week, with a couple of premiums on the menu for savvy super coaches out there. We'll start with Lehi Hoppawattie, who is 676K this week, coming off back-to-back tons. He's 26% owned in the top 10%, and he's already been 6% purchased roughly this week. He's got a BE of 16, and Finn, I know you're looking at him this week. The question most super coaches going through their mind is, have they missed the boat? Mainly have the buy in round 16 and 19, but he's obviously got fullback this week, and he's just looking like a superstar.
Yeah, it's going to depend on your numbers, of course, but I would say that I was going to skip if Turbo was back this week, but we know he's a gun at fullback, probably a keeper as long as he plays fullback. So you got the game at fullback against the Knights, and then even if Trbojevic is back next week, you have that wing game, a game on the wing against the Titans. So at the worst case, you get him for those two good matchups, and then maybe look to sell to maybe a Lomax or Kiraz after that point. But there is the maybe small chance that Lehi ends up staying fullback full-time if whatever happens to Trbojevic. So, yeah, I don't think it's too late. If you want him, I think he's a good purchase.
Dan, the price is still right there. 676K, like, I wouldn't say it's massive value long-term, but short term, I think the price is good. And as Finn mentioned, like it's within the range of outcomes that he keeps this job for a while and Turbo's not, or Turbo either goes to center or 5'8", or who knows what Siebes will do, or he remains injured. So I think what else comes into it, though, is that round 19 buy that we speak about so often on this pod, with Canberra, Manly and South so heavily owned. Would that be the number one thing for your thinking if you were a Lehi purchaser this week?
Yeah, like even for the last three rounds, it's been on my mind, like how many Manly, Canberra, and
South.
Who's the other side? South, that you can carry, right? And last week, I mean, 2 weeks ago, it's kind of why I led towards not going Lehi, although I really like him even on the wing. Like his base is drastically picked up. He's looking strong, doing a lot of carries. With Turbo injured even at fullback, he was then picking up the slack. So, you know, that left wing for Manly is usually a hot spot as well. So I think anyone can pick him up. The only proviso would be just count your numbers for that buy rounds, because a lot of guys will have Kalola Motangi, Ola Kawatu, Garrick, Tapanay, a lot of these absolute guns who you actually want to keep for the whole year, So it's going to be really hard to drop any of them. If you've got people like Corey Horsburgh, Zach Hoskin, some of these guys, you can Starlow, Hubner, you can definitely flick them on. So I wouldn't be counting them as your main big purchases. But yeah, Lehigh still a good option. I think a lot of people are stacked in center wing, so I'm going to miss him. But I've really loved watching him over the last few rounds, even being a non-owner.
That's a really good point around the stack center wing, because it is so stacked and there are only so many slots that we have available. And one guy who's come right back into contention this week, sort of from nowhere, Jacob Carraz, he's missed the last two or three games. I think he's been out for 3 weeks, and we were expecting him to come back after the round 16 bye in round 17. But Finn, he's come back in now. He's 798K, 126 break even. He's going to be a pod still. I do think he'll be popular though.
Yeah, I'm keen. It's tough to know whether to bring him in now or not.
Mm.
Yeah, you'll want him in eventually, but you could also afford to wait with him with his price tag and the break even. But yeah, I wouldn't count on him losing too much cash because he's just a weapon.
Dan, is there any lingering doubts with him around this calf? Like, we know that calves can hang around a bit.
Yeah, for sure. I think there definitely is. It was obviously low grade, the fact that he played the rest of that game and then they stated that he got the calf tear and played on. I think you're going to assume that it's a grade one or lower. But still, coming back early from even a minor strain, huge risk for doing it again. I would be a little bit wary, particularly with the break even at 120. Parramatta is a good matchup, but they have shown a little bit more nous in defense recently. Like, they did pretty well against Panthers, although Brian To'o on the right wing scored a double. So that's pretty juicy for that right wing. So I would be hesitant to pick him up this week. Obviously a great number for 15. Buy number is in the back of my mind for round 16 as well, because the Bulldogs have the buy, but certainly we'll be looking for 17, 18, 19, definitely bringing him in at that stage.
Yeah, the other thing is, if that he's, for whatever reason, he's not right to go this week, they do have Blake Wilson in the reserves, which is not unusual. He would often be named in the reserves, that it's the last match. So unless you're trading a Bobby Toyer or Billy Smith, you won't be able to reverse that trade. So just something to consider there with that. I will consider Robert Toyer to him. We'll get to Toyer in a minute, but in terms of trade outs, but yeah, he's certainly got that good matchup. That Addo Carr, Sean Russell edge can be leaky. So I'll be having a very good look at Jacob Kiraz this week. Couple of cheaper options, guys, who have really come on the radar. Nathan Lawson will play his second game. He's 199K. He went okay. I didn't see much of that game on the weekend, so I can't comment too much at the moment. He's not on the bubble, it's worth noting. So he'll be on the bubble round 15 next week. But I know people are looking for downgrades. And the other one is Zach Laybutt, who's 389K, is on the bubble this week. Break even at 27, playing the Storm. Finn, how will you be approaching these downgrade options? I know that you're probably not looking to downgrade to a lay, but it's probably a Nathan Lawson for you. Would that be this week or next week?
Yeah, that's right on the assumption. Lawson comes at a good time because the cheapies have really dried up, and yeah, that cash gen will be pretty important for upgrades through this period. Unless you're going to want to play him this week, I think you're better off waiting till next week, unless you really need the cash to make another move this week. I think next week would be the better decision.
Yeah. Dan, in terms of Lay, but he's 200K extra. He's a bit more proven than Lawson. I'd say his job security is slightly better. I would expect Lawson to get an extended run in the team now. Is very good buy coverage. You're really looking to probably not have to tie up that 200K though, I would have thought, and just going all the way down to Lawson's a pretty easy decision.
Yeah, definitely not. Like, Laybutt will play in your team for round 15 and round 18 and probably for the, 16, 19 sort of thing, but you're never going to play him with the way teams are at the moment. They're super stacked. Like, if you're buying him this week, it would only be for a downgrade. There's no chance you don't have 18 better players than Zach Laybutt this week. So yeah, definitely miss him, and I just wait if you can for Lawson next week. Like, I don't know about you guys, but I've been fairly impressed with Sloan on the wing. I thought he's done a pretty good job. His carries have been okay. He's obviously a try scorer. So I think there's a slight risk that if Lawson has a bad game, if Dragons get belted this week, that Sloan may be back in. So I wouldn't jump the gun.
Yeah, I think that's right. In terms of jumping the gun, I would certainly, if you can wait till next week, do so. I wouldn't be opposed to using it if you're desperate to make that upgrade elsewhere, to be opposed to bringing him in this week. As I said, Flano, like, I think this feels a bit calculated. Sloan has had his issues defensively. There's no doubt about that. He's had it his whole career. I don't think that's solved. I think he has been quite good on his carry out of his own end particularly. And as you said, Dan, he's a natural try scorer, so he's always gonna be there finishing. Yeah, I don't love it, but I think if we can get to next week and Lawson's named again, the Dragons' buy coverage is very good, and he can make bank through that period. So, yeah, boys, premium options. We've spoken a lot so far about these slots in the center wing and how they are at a premium. Someone who is interesting, or a couple of guys who not everyone own, Cale Iro and Herbie Farnworth, both proven Supercoach guns. Both have scored a try every week for what seems like the whole season. They both play centre, high power games. Would you be prioritising those, like, if you don't own those guys, to be bringing them in this week? Because I know a lot of Supercoaches are facing up to that, and they both have quite good buy coverage from now. So, Finn, I'd be keen for your thoughts on those two guys.
In terms of, I think if you were to pick one, Herbie's draw is really good from now on. I think he's probably close to essential. With his base, the attack and the attack that he can get in these next few games. If you're comparing him to someone like Iro, Kiraz as well, like Kiraz is only 70k, like 60, 70k more expensive. You know, it's not too much further to go up. I think I would say if you don't have Herbie, I'd be prioritizing him this week.
Yeah, I think that's probably right, Dan. I nearly bought Iro in a couple of weeks ago. It just feels like a lot of money. It's hard to see a lot of value in that price, even though he's such a good player and such a Supercoach weapon.
Yeah, I don't know. I watched very closely in that Roosters game, and yeah, he was a bit quiet first half, but that 15 minutes after halftime, he looked unstoppable. Like, tackle breaks, obviously got the try, he set up another. I'm very keen for him. The reason I would lean Iro over Kiraz this week is purely because of that round 16 buy, and he's slightly cheaper. So I really like the both Herbie. I think Finn's right that Herbie is probably the essential one there. They play 14, 15, 16, 17, and both have very good runs. Herbie has a dream run over the next four. So if Dolphins can turn up, he's going to be scoring well. But yeah, I really like Iro. I think he can keep going on his try scoring run. I think they're looking for him all the time. You know, I'm very keen to get him in now. So it's my one trade this week, Toya to Iro.
Yeah, right. Very interesting. Probably the most polarizing player this week is Jackson Purdue, early season cheapie, who's proving to be a bit of a gun NRL-wise. He's 603K this week. He's just under 15% owned, so a few have held on to him. We know the Cowboys' buy coverage is second to none. They don't miss a game till round 27. Dan, I'll ask you, because I know that you love seeing this. Start with you, because I know you love seeing him so objectively, given that you sold him so early on. Could you see yourself buying Purdue back at 604K, and then he's obviously going to get the jewel in round 18?
Yeah, if you're a believer, I certainly am. Like, I've been obviously watching closely as a non-owner after his board. He's very, very good NRL-wise. I think it looked great on the weekend. Like, I think after the game we were talking, like, we're definitely going to bring him in. But you're probably looking at your end game strategy would probably be playing Purdue as your second 5'8". That's probably where I'd look. So you'd have maybe a Munster or JC as your first 5'8", and probably when he gets the dual, slide him up there, because I don't see him at the top echelon of premium center wings. So maybe carry him as your seventh center wing, or have him up in that spot. I know we were talking as well, Matty. He's now the same price as a Luke Metcalf. And you said you'd probably prefer Metcalf at the same price.
I think it all comes down to how you want to structure your halves. I don't really like Purdue as a buy option. Sorry, I like his buy coverage as a purchase option, just because I do think when the Cows go poorly, he is going to score poorly. I think he's going to have some 19s, sort of 19, 20s, 25s in his locker, which on any given week when you play him at the back end of the year, that's not really good what you're looking for. Notwithstanding, we are getting scores dropping out. I still don't think that matters. He is going to have those hundreds when they do have the good matchups and they go well, but I'm just a little bit against it. I think the biggest consideration, Finn, is probably how you're looking to structure 5'8", whether you're going to go for two guns like a Munster JC combo or try and get one of those guys with a King Togio or a Latu Fainu, and then look to potential, you know, that's when maybe, yeah, to Dan's strategy to shift Purdue up to 5'8 as your second 5'8.
Yeah, no, that's a great point you make about how he'll have the duel in round 18. That makes it interesting. I would say if you held Purdue and you held him through the poor score and then the bye and then his big score, I don't see why you shouldn't hold him throughout this period with the buy coverage and see what he can do. If you sold, I would prefer other centre wings to buy for the meantime. But once it gets to that round 18 period, I guess it depends on his price. But yeah, he's in the conversation if you want to run home with him as a second 5'8". I guess I would do the two guns at 5'8", or I would have someone like Purdue that can cover in case, you know, if you want to reserve him or if your main 5'8", like a Campbell or a Munster's out in a given week.
We'll get on to the 5'8 chat in a moment. I just want to chat quickly, Dan, about a couple of these Roosters boys who are popular sell options this week, mainly Robert Toyer. He's clearly likely maxed in price now at 609K. He's in the Origin team as it stands. I'm a little bit hesitant to sell Toyer this week, just given, although Murray Tuilagi hasn't been named for Queensland, so that probably takes a little bit of the risk out of selling Toyer. You'd have to expect him to now back up in Origin 2 for Queensland. Is he an easy move on this week for you?
Yeah, I think so. With a high break even and potentially not playing around 14, 15 and 17, very, very easy to move on. I think if, as you said, Murray Talangi named this week and had a good performance, I'd be worried that I don't think Val's getting dropped with whoever was chatting that up is ridiculous. But I think Val would probably move to the centres in that case, and Toya's probably the one to move on. Even though Hammer was quiet in that first Origin, I think he's still a proven gun at that level. So Talangi not being there, I think, is very positive for him making Origin again. So I think he's very easy to move on. Billy Smith, I'd just keep. I think he's going to be a decent number right now, and I'd wait till, as Finn said, wait to look at your numbers and be flexible for the last few buys. I think he's very easy to move on if you can upgrade to a gun for round 17, 18, 19.
I wish he'd get a score so he'd make some money and could sell him for a reasonable price, but yeah, I definitely tend to agree. We're going to need those guys, particularly for 15 and 16. I think in the short term. I think as you get later into the buy period, you could look at selling him. But yeah, that's one for later.
Lane Miller, veers to the right, inside.
Oh,
Bateman, wow. Yes, Canberra.
Down to 5'8" now and halfback guys. I'm going to combine this because there's a lot of good options across both positions, and we've got a few jewels in here as well in Metcalf and Brown. Let's start with Metcalf, Finn. He's coming off 123. He's looks like he's raised his floor a little bit. The Warriors have got a sensational run home. He's still really heavily owned. 31% of the top 10% have held Metcalf through. Well done to everyone who's done that. I'm not one of them. I think the signs are really good for Metcalf to keep scoring well.
Yep, I agree. I don't think I would sell him at this point. His game's too friendly, and he's putting up, the scores he's putting up are too good. I think it depends on your other 5/8. I think you'll be wanting Campbell by round 15. Depends on where you have him. But if it was like, if you had Munster and Metcalf there, I think I'd rather sell Munster at this point.
Definitely. I think Metcalf is not a trade out whatsoever. Like even though they missed 15 and 18, I think most people, as we've discussed, are pretty well covered at least for 15. And I'm a broken record, but he plays 16-19, so that's going to be like gold, I think. We already saw round 13 last week. People were struggling to field a team, and that's going to be the easiest of those minor buy rounds by a mile. Dan, like, could he be a purchase option, Metcalf?
I think he could, not for me, given the stage I'm at, just with how my team is, but I don't see it as a bad thing. He looked unbelievable, even though he was playing South on the weekend. I think it's just really gelling now. He's got a lot of confidence going forward, kicking, I don't know, a bit up in the air sometimes, but he's obviously locked that down. So he's definite option, and I could see him as your second 5/8 for just holding for the rest of the year, for sure. They also have that massively juicy matchup, Penrith at home, with no Origin players backing up. Like, that is huge. So, you know, if even though he misses 15, if he tons up there, like, you're just making that back anyway. So, I don't mind him as a purchase for some people.
That's given me a thought, actually. I might even look at doing I think I want to get Munster out for Campbell next week. Just given Munster's going to miss a few of these games, and I think they will take the opportunity to give him a bit of a spell in the period. King Togia to Metcalf in 16 might work out well if I've got the funds. St. George missed 16, and to be honest, I kind of want King Togia out of my side. But I don't mind. And Metcalf's got the jewel as well. Yeah, like you said, that matchup's there. Anyway, another guy who is dual 5/8 halfback, Dylan Brown. I speak to a lot of people who own him, and they don't know whether they should sell him or not, or keep him. They miss the round 15 buy and round 18. He's 585K now, so he's relatively cheap. Still owned by 20% of teams, break even of 102. Dan, do you own Dill Bags?
I don't.
Finn, you don't own him either, do you? No, would you be looking to move a Dill Bags on? Like, just given the sort of gun options around, he still seems to be getting it done. Like, he's averaging, take out that 23 game, he's still averaging in that high 60s to 70. So he's still doing it. Just doesn't look great for Dill Bags, does it, with Moses back, for whatever reason?
No, that's a tough one. I would say his two games, round 16 at home to the Titans, round 17 he's got he's away to the Dragons, which is pretty good, but I guess he's just scoring at that kind of like sub gun range, and I think it's, if you want to hold him through the next few, that's fine, but if you wanted to move on, like, say that's another example, like if you want to go him to Campbell this week or next week, I think that's fine too.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Dan, let's get on to Jaden Campbell, because he's the most purchased player just about this week, or if not the most purchased. He's 701K. He's starting at fullback for the Titans. I'm still not fully convinced fullback's going to be better for him than halfback. It was a bit of a funny one on the weekend. He scored well. I think he got 94 or something in the wet against the Storm. I don't think we got a particularly good read. I think he's just going to score well regardless. How are you looking at fitting Campbell in?
Yeah, I think either this week or next week, if that's your move, certainly don't mind it at all. Like, looking at his stats in terms of from halfback to fullback, I think they were pretty similar, very similar base. he's obviously got the floor with the goal kicking as well, which is helpful. He did have three tries set up on the weekend, but I think maybe a couple from kicks, maybe not giving the line breaks, but he was still consistent. And I think he is top two, 5/8 for the run home with Munster. And Munster's a little bit up in the air with his bye period coverage. I'd say he's going to get a rest at some stage as well. So you also want these guys that have these huge ceilings premiums for those major buys. So either this week or next, just depends how your team's structured. Very happy to get him in.
Yep. Yep. I'll be pushing hard either for Cleary or Munster next week. He would have been the one I sold Dricky to this week. I think he's a fine purchase at fullback as well for Turbo. You're an owner, Finn. I know you held him through that period when he was injured. Can you put any slows on the Campbell purchase for the listeners?
No, it'd be hard to. I know you said that the move to fullback might not benefit him too much, but I don't think it'll hurt him too much. No matter what position he plays, he's just his play style. He just accumulates points. So yeah, I think he's a nearly essential for this period, and you'd probably run him until he gets injured.
To your point, Matt, about Dylan Brown, I wouldn't be trading Dylan Brown up to Jaden Campbell if you owned Munster as well. I think Dylan Brown, I think it's a bit of a waste of a trade because you can definitely run home with Dylan Brown as your second 5/8. I don't think he's been, like, obviously that score in round 12, the major buy was horrible, like the 20 points, like you're expecting much better than that, but easily hold him for the rest of the year as your second 5/8. I don't think the less trades you can make there, the better. And I don't think Munster and JC is absolutely essential because most weeks you're going to have the reserve on maybe a couple of center wings, definitely the fullback spot. And this year you're going to have a front row or second row as well. So it's going to be really difficult to put one of your four reserves on the 5/8 consistently.
It's a good point. He's kind of that guy who is an easy sit when you've got a full strength team. Like, you can easily not play him, but then if you've got JC or Munster injured that week, he's very easy to plug in to 5/8. So I think that's probably the type of guy that if you own, you can let him sit there. These Origin guys, Nathan Cleary and Cam Munster, I want to talk about the context of selling them either this week or next. Obviously, Cleary wouldn't be selling this week, playing the Tigers. Munster is a little tricky. So I know people are selling him. He's got 104 BE, 746K. They're playing the Cowboys. Finn, I'm not looking to sell Munster this week, but I am keen to sell next week. The fixture just looks too juicy this week. And we know he can go big.
I agree with you. I'll be keeping him this week. I think I would be more keen to sell if I was convinced on an option to bring in, but at this current stage, there isn't. So I'm happy to hold him at home to the Cowboys and then reassess.
Yep. Dan, what about Cleary versus Munster as a sell option next week? Do you have a preference there? Cleary misses 15-16, then has dog 17, misses 18, and then if he backs up in round 19 and play the Eels. I was kind of talking myself into holding, but I think that I'm going to look to trade him now and make use of that cash across that month.
Yeah, I think so. Again, depends on that half structure that you've got. But if you're keeping Cleary, like you've got Hines there, which is probably your backup half, which is good. I think if you've got Cleary, but you don't have it's really difficult if you've got Cleary and a cheapie at halfback. Like, I think you've definitely got to sell Cleary there because it's just going to be chaos for the rest of it. But yeah, probably I'd lean towards Cleary and holding Munster if that was the choice. Like, I think Munster's much more likely to back up, and Cleary missing 4 out of 5 potentially, you probably got to lose him.
Yeah. final one I want to talk about in the halves, guys, is Jerome Hughes, who was a very, very popular purchase last week for his 32 points in the wet versus the Titans. Very tough luck for new owners there. He's 602K now with a break-even of 126. He's looking ripe for a potential purchase in round 16 after the Storm bye. Finn, would you consider, it seems like a pretty tough sell this week. I think I'd be holding if I was a new purchaser or owned already.
Yeah, I would definitely hold now if I bought. In terms of people who don't own him, he doesn't play round 15, you're right. And I guess the main sell to Hughes at that point would be Cleary, but it doesn't line up because you'd want to probably sell Cleary round 15. So it makes it tricky. I don't know if he's 100% fit still. I know he's had problem with his shoulder, which makes it tough. I think, because I know a few people would have Hughes in the flex, and that makes it easier to sell Cleary and then switch Hughes up to halfback, and you can bring in whoever you want.
I guess you could look to hold Cleary. Like, if you have other trades that you can make to get your round 15 team looking good, you could hold Cleary for that week and then sell him to Hughes the following week as well.
Yeah, that's what I'm tossing up.
Dan, just with what do you expect? Would Hughes and Hines be the two options there? I suppose you could run a Metcalf or some other combo.
What about my man?
Oh, Fogarty. Green.
Jamal Fogarty. Yeah.
No,
I mean,
no,
you definitely with this lingering groin injury, you do not want to pick him up. Owners, he's been named this week. Even if he doesn't play this week, I'm probably still going to hold him. They go West Tigers, Newcastle, St. George for that 16, 17, 18. And then I'll probably look to move him on to either Cleary probably Cleary if he backs up 19 or have some flex thing to then bring in Cleary for him afterwards. But yeah, Hughes is a tough one. I feel like maybe last year he was about 10 to 12 point average above what he usually is. And that I think was probably due to Munster being injured, Origin not quite there. I think he became such a dominant half. He had wish art for a lot of those games as well that he went huge. So I don't think your expectation is he's going to average 80 plus. But he's okay if you need to downgrade Cleary.
Yep. I'll be having a solid look at Hughes. I do have that inkling, though, that what Finn said about his injury is right. He does have a bye to give it a rest over that week. He did have a bye last week, though, the week before, though, as well, in 12. So, yeah, I lean to him getting fitter, and that game being a bit of an aberration last week. Like, it was so wet.
Definitely.
Those games, you have to write those games off sometimes for poor scores because they just sometimes can happen. So
I'd love to see the stats on Jerome Hughes not getting a try or try assist in a Storm game, particularly against a low team. Like, he just had none on the weekends. His base was actually not too bad. So I think you can at least expect an average of 1 to 2 try contributions in the of try assists or tries for those three run the 16, 17, 18.
Yep. All right, let's get down up to the 2RF now, fellas. And the man on everyone's lips, Keon Koloa Matangi, getting his pronunciation right. Thank you to everyone who helped me out with that on socials this week. He's 678K, coming off a big 109 on the weekend. I bought him in. He's now 75% owned in the top 10%. So very, very popular. The bad news, though, he is very likely to get named in the New South Wales Blues squad for Origin 2 with Mitch Barnett doing his ACL. The big question, Finn, is can you still bring him in, or how should you count your blessings that you didn't? I'm not so sure. It's so not sure you can score 109 a blessing, though, missing that score.
Yeah, I still think if you bought him last week, you're in a better spot with the, you know, with the 80 minutes and the big score. You would have to think odds on now he gets an Origin spot, which makes his coverage terrible. So I actually, I think if he didn't own, I would just, I don't think I'd bring in. I think I'd just see what happens there.
What do you think, Dan?
Oh, I think you probably missed the boat on him. I think, like, I really expect him to be Origin. I think Barnett particularly is probably the best out for him to then be selected, because he's obviously more of a middle than some of the other options there. And I think he's just a bit of a class above Uto Ikemanu. So I think he's about 80% sure of this Origin. You could wait and pay the tax, but then you're paying about 750K for him next week. Which maybe if they go 15, 16, 17, 18, you might want to do if you've got the cash. So I'd probably just hold and wait and see.
Yeah, I'd lean to definitely paying that tax. Like if it costs you 70K, he's probably going to get between 70 and 90 points this week, or less. If his minutes can't go up, they can only go down. So he obviously got a try last week as well. The role is optimal. Perfect, whatever you want to call it. I would be inclined, if I didn't own him, and I to be honest, I didn't want to buy him last week. I thought this has got bad news written all over it. But I was able to do it in one move, Thomas Cant to him in one move, so it made too much sense not to do. But I would definitely be not buying now. I would just pay the if for whatever reason he doesn't get selected in Origin 2. Pay the 750K next week and enjoy him through that buy period. But you can, because as always with these are not, you know, you can spend that money elsewhere this week. There's Karaz, there's Lehigh, there's great options that you can go and spend that money on instead of buying Kalo Matangi to match whatever Kalo Matangi does this week. So I wouldn't be scared of taking that purchase on at all and putting that money to good use elsewhere. Finn, Hamole Olakau'atu finally had a good score, 94 on the weekend with a couple of tries, 607K now, very, very cheap. I think this just comes back to, he's very heavily owned, 60%. Like that score really hurt me on the weekend as a non-owner. Someone who's going to play round 15, I can see the appeal, and I know teams are looking to buy him. So it really, really just comes down to your team balance, I think, and how many Seagulls and Raiders you have.
Yeah, that's right. And he's another guy that misses 16 and 19. So, you know, if you clump him with the other trade-in targets, I don't know if he's a top priority. His base was still pretty poor on the weekend. We know he's going to have games where he gets attacked. That's the kind of player he is. But is he a top five second rower for the run home? I'm not as convinced as clearly 60, 70% of people are.
It's really thinned out the 2RF. Like, you've got these really workhorse kind of guys like obviously Lucas, but Tino, probably Tino, Ecat, Lucas are probably everyone's top three, I'd say, at the moment. Kalo Matangi. But beyond that, we're struggling to get that high upside option this year.
Yeah, that's right. He is affordable. So if you looked at your numbers and you thought, yep, I can bring in another Sea Eagle, I don't think he's a bad option at all, of course. But is he a top priority? I have my doubts.
Yeah.
I think it all comes down to your reserve forwards that you've got. Like I'm pretty much, I don't want to make another trade this year in the premium forwards. Like I've got all the guys I want at the moment, and I've got one reserve in each of the front row forwards and second row forwards that I can play in my 18 each week. I would not want an extra one there. So as you said before, Matty, that team balance is probably the essential one. Olakau'atu, there's a lot of center wing guys, halfbacks that can match him on average. So it's pretty easy to miss if you've got enough numbers there. If for some reason you're very short at second row forward, I think he's still a decent pickup at that 600K, but I wouldn't be bringing him in if it's just overstacking those areas.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting. It will be interesting when we get to the back end, like for round 19, sort of if he even end up might be a sell if he can make an extra 100K, and there are some other options that week. One option, Dan, I just want to talk about quickly before we get down to the front row is just Zach Hosking. So he's very highly owned, 65% before this weekend. 545K now, break even of 83. His role looks pretty set, 70 minutes. It's just, it's not the most inspiring. I think he's a fine hold, but probably looking to move him on at some point in the next few weeks.
Yeah. Are you playing him this week? Oh, so you could actually move him on this week. Like, doesn't, you're not playing him in your side this week. He doesn't play the next bye. Probably a good number for round 16. But as we talked about before, you could probably trade him out for some of the options that are playing around 17, 18, and 19 because he misses that essential one in 19. So I would have no problem. It's the reason I didn't buy him in the first place is just I was worried that I would never really play him apart from those major buys. And there was such a gap between round 12 and round 19, he might not be in your side anyway for that round 19.
It's more just who are the obvious purchase, like who are the obvious sell options to, who do I go to? Like I don't really need to sell him this week. I'd probably like, you know, Toby Couchman is there. But his break even's 87. So I'd rather wait, make sure he turns up in round 15. I don't know who to sell him to. I think what's a bit underrated, Finn, is like just even though he's got that tough break even of 83 this week and I'm not playing him, there's something to be said, depending on like how many trades you have to make for round 15 next week, there's something to be said just for holding for that week's worth of information.
Yeah, and I'm in a similar boat to you. I have him, and at this stage, I'm not playing him this week. I'm not crazy about his role. Obviously, Fogarty being out wasn't going to help him last week. Mm. And I'm not sure. I know he was named, but you'd think Fogarty plays, but I guess we'll see. Yeah, again, if you want to sell Hosking on to an upgrade that you think's worth it, I think that's fine.
Guys, someone who potentially could be a replacement for Zach Hosking is old-time pod favourite, Jackie Boy Williams. Now, Dan, regular listeners of this podcast will know that we are not Jack Williams' biggest fan as Sharks fans. We're glad to see the back of him. But he looks like he's got this new hybrid role where he's starting in the middle and then pushing out to the edge. He's played 73 minutes, then 72 minutes the last 2 weeks for a 96 and an 80. That's about as good as roles get in Supercoach for a forward.
Yeah, no, it's looking very promising. I think big minutes the last two, prior to him getting injured, he had big minutes for those two games before that as well. So it looks like Riles wants him there for that high minutes edge, floating between edge and middle role. I really like it. Maybe his hands are just better when he's into a rhythm in a game. You know, he'd always come on as that impact player for the Sharks, and he's basically cold, dropping balls left, right, and center. But certainly warming into his new role at Parramatta, he's strong, he's athletic, he's obviously got the motor to go that distance. I just feel this time of year, he's probably at a price now where he's not going to be in your side much. A bit like Hosking, he's probably similar to a Hosking in terms of like the Supercoach output that you're looking at. So I definitely wouldn't be swinging across from Hosking. Maybe if you somehow have some money with the center wing flips with like a Lucas and you're looking to move on someone there, I could see it just to free up cash. But I'd look to free up cash for another purchase. So I wouldn't be doing a swing across to Jack Williams.
It's all just really, Finn, contingent on him keeping that role. I'm not sure we can trust it, and I just don't. I know he got a try a couple of weeks ago, but from an upside perspective, I probably just don't quite see it.
Yeah, no, that's fair. But I guess he hasn't really given Rolls any reason to move him out of that role. He's been killing it both in real life and in Supercoach. And I guess if you wanted a budget kind of dual kind of depth guy for the run home, that you could play in a pinch, maybe he, I don't mind him as a pod option there that can fit the bill.
What about against someone like a Couchman, who's obviously fallen in price? He's very similar price, actually. He's 557, but as mentioned, break even of 87, so he's going to lose a bit more cash. How would you compare him to someone like him?
round 16 might be the big differentiator. But I think in a vacuum, I'd prefer Couchman. He's a bit safer and he's been putting up keeper level scores most of the games this year.
Yeah, he's been named on the edge, as we mentioned. He'll obviously move back into the middle. It seems Flano's got a ton of trust for him, though, Dan. And I'm just a little concerned about that sublux shoulder that he's been carrying, which I know he injured a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I think he should be fine with that. I think this role, we saw it with what would have been Ryan Couchman, then into Dylan Egan, and maybe someone else there as well, playing that first stint on the edge, then going into the middle. I think he's secured that. But I just, again, he's same as Jack Williams. I don't necessarily think they're required at this stage. I'd probably just have him in the wings if the likes of Haas, Tino, AFB, Tappany were to go down. I think they're good options to downgrade, so it frees up a bit of cash to go elsewhere. But I'm not that keen on bringing them in at the moment. I also like ceiling guys for those major buys, so I'm not that excited about bringing Couchy in for round 15.
I don't mind Haas to Couchy next week. If I'm okay for round 16, Haas is going to miss a lot of footy. It just depends. Like Haas, Munster, Cleary, like probably can't sell all of them, but I think those guys are your best route to freeing cash up for this period. Yeah, that's going to be an interesting one. Aaron Clark, we're sort of drifting into the dual 2RF into the front row forwards now, but Aaron Clark is a guy who just keeps getting it done. Another score. He actually down-dated into the 70s this week after finishing the game at 80 points. He's 681K, break-even of 88. So he's sort of topping out. Is it too late for Aaron Clark, Finn?
No, I don't think so. I love Clark as an option. He does play.
You own him, don't you? You own him, don't you?
Yeah. I picked him up round 12. I think anyone that started the season with him, I don't know, you can't really get a better pod pick than that throughout the season. Mm. But he only played 55 minutes last round, still pumped out to 72. Yeah, he's just, as long as he's got that sort of Tohu role that he's kind of picked up, been brought to the club for by the looks of things. Yeah, I think he's a keeper. I think, there's not much else to say.
The Barnett injury
yeah.
There helps.
That's what I was going to say as well, yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, yeah. That obviously can only help him or can't hurt him.
Dan, last one on the front row list is Corey Horsburgh. Now, I think it's probably just as straightforward as if he gets picked for Origin next week, you sell him.
Yeah, I think you can sell him anyway. I don't necessarily think you're going to hold him all the way to round 18, regardless. And then you're probably not playing him this week. You would play him in round 16, probably wouldn't play him in round 17, and then you might be moving him on. So he's an easy sell. But if he's in your plans for sort of a buy number for that time, he's an easy hold as well. But yeah, I'd be looking to move him on at some stage.
Down to hooker, only a couple of options here to talk about, and they're not even really options, I wouldn't say, this week. But Jazz Tavanga, Finn, he's 509K. He's done a great job for owners. He's got a break even of 18, and we know how tricky this hooker position is. Would you be looking, if you're an owner, you'd probably maybe give it a week, just see how this role shakes out before moving him on, or pretend, you know, see how that goes for 15 or before shipping him out?
Yeah, definitely. He's been great for anyone who's picked him up. I guess it helps that, like, that there's not really any trade-in options at hooker that's urgent. It depends what kind of duels you have, or maybe if you have Tavanga at second row or whatever. I would just hold and reassess.
Dan, your old favourite, Cookie, Damien Cook. The boys spoke at length about him on the snap. He's got a break even of -3. He's only 489K. Look, I'm really sick about talking about hooker and trading hooker, but it just does feel like It does. I think he's going to get the minutes. I think they're going to be there, but it's very uncertain.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to get the minutes. I think on the weekend, again, there was a forward that went down very early.
Yeah, Sua.
Jaden Sua, right? And this week they're playing Jacob Little as usual, but then they've got three basically middles through the bench. So I think Couchman's going to pick up most of those minutes, and I think Cookie will go back to lower minutes. Like, he got 76, 79 the week before that when he played. But he's had games at 48, 43. So I'd expect that to be happening as a regular occurrence if there's not an injury-affected game, just with their bench makeup. So I'm very happy to just miss Cookie, even though I've been really impressed with him over the last few weeks.
The only thing I would say there, and Finn, I'd be keen for your view too, that bench is packed with low-minute forwards. So Pacific Itonga, Laurie, who we know, like, Flano really doesn't like playing Laurie. Could you see, Finn, a world where we do see a bit of sort of running forward minutes for Cook there?
Yeah, and they've won the last couple of weeks, which helps his cause. I don't mind him. He's got a negative break even, obviously very affordable on from, I guess, the likes of Tavanga, Sandon. I think, yeah, if you do pick up Cook, though, you would expect to hold him for the rest of the season.
How are you thinking, Finn, of what do you see as the ideal sort of, as we get to through the end of the buys and into the run home, how do you want to see your hooker position structured in terms of like a gun or two guns, a cheapie or enough, or where is your head at with that?
It's a good question. I don't actually know. Hey, I'm not really convinced with Grant. He hasn't really fired a shot all year. He could still do. Maybe we bring him in. But at the moment, I have the two Smiths. I have Sandon and Riley. My plan is to keep running with Sandon until he dies and then try and bring in the best option from there. But I'm definitely not rushing out to bring in like two gun hookers or anything. It's just, unfortunately, it's not a great position.
And just leave Riley there as long as he's playing? As your backup?
Yeah, maybe. I think it's valuable having someone that could, as a depth, that could get you a score in a pinch as an emergency type of player. And he's playing essentially 80 minutes every week, so I'm not opposed to that, no.
No. Yeah, I'm in the exact same boat, like in terms of not in who I own. So I own Sandon Smith and Tom Starling. I'm worried about Starling's minutes with Owen Paddy looking so good last week. Dan, I know you're considering nuffing Starling this week or next.
Yeah, I think he obviously plays for me this week with Sandon Smith on the bye, but I am not opposed to that. I think if anyone that's listened to the pod before, I am very keen on having Kalani going as the second hooker in the run home and then having a dual to match him at the second row hooker of Connor Watson or Max Plath. So we're not in the position. I don't think Starlow was endgame. I think what Finn's talking about with Riley Smith, I think that's worked out actually really well now. Riley Smith playing big minutes. You don't have to move him on because he's made cash for you. He was cheap to start with. So I think you can certainly just keep running there and not make the trade.
Yeah, I agree.
But you're definitely not going the likes of having Sandon Smith and Harry Grant for the run home. I think Sandon Smith now has proven he's pretty easy to play most weeks. Probably what Finn's planning is your first hooker for as long as you can keep him until he dies, as he said. So, yeah, I'd probably say if you don't have something like that combo, probably looking at Kalani going as the best option with the likes of Watson or Plath endgame.
Yep. Yeah, just to round that out, I would definitely say you don't need to trade for a second hooker if you don't have to. The position's not going to really hurt you. There's no high upside gun there, as Finn touched on, with Harry Grant's not looking the best. We might want to get him in post-buys, but I think it's really just navigate with what you can for now and then and just be nimble with the position, so... all right, guys, that rounds out our positional analysis. So let's move on to Captain's Chat. Finn, It's a very, very interesting week for captains, particularly with Pappenhausen playing the second game. How are you looking at structuring up your VC-C combo this week?
It's Pappenhausen or Cleary captain for me. Although I did look at the Tigers bench. If you want to fall back on Terrell, it's a good option as well. I think it would either be the easy one could be VC, Pappenhausen, C, Cleary, or, if I just think Pappenhausen's the best option, I could go a VC in the first game, maybe a Manly player, and then Pappenhausen straight captain.
Dan, baller projections have Cleary at a 99 projected this week. He is the highest projected ahead of May and Pappenhausen. There is something nagging at me, though, that Paps is the best option. And I was considering a sneaky Lehigh VC into Paps C. But that's always a bit fraught with danger as well if you commit to a loop too early in a round. If Lehigh, but I suppose I could just take it off Paps and put it on to Cleary or someone who plays later in the week.
What's your question there? Just
who are you VC to C? Sorry, I just kind of started ranting.
Yeah, look, I don't mind the Paps captain. I think we saw it with the 180 against Tigers. Like, you can obviously go there. It's not a day game. It's the Friday night game, which maybe isn't like definitely going to be those sort of games, the dry, sunny day. But I have Pappenhausen VC. So, and then I don't know, you guys haven't mentioned him, but Payne Haas, I think, is a big captain option this week against the Titans. I think Broncos getting smashed last week. Madge is just going to be, going all in this week. Titans aren't looking great through the forward pack. He's going to go back to big minutes. So I'm very keen on having him as captain this week. Hopefully he gets over for a meat pie.
Payne Haas projected 91 points in 65 minutes, Dan. So definitely some safe meat and potatoes there. All right, boys, pod of the week. So let's start with you, Dan.
My pod, he's not playing two out of the next three, but you want him for this matchup against the Tigers. Brian To'o, very impressed with him on the weekend, even more impressed with him in Origin. He's back to his best. He's not injured. I think him injury-free is top four center wing endgame. So obviously Panthers aren't as good as they were, but he's still going to turn out a huge amount of base. So very, very keen on Brian To'o.
Yeah, I don't mind it. It's probably timing not exactly right, but he's going to be a very interesting pod option at centre wing for the run home. Finn, who have you got for your pod of the week?
So my pod of the week is the money man, Christian Tuipulotu. He's finally back from his hamstring injury. And he was putting up keeper scores before he got injured. He covers 15 and 18. Again, it's a recurring theme throughout the show, but if you can cover round 16, fine. I think he's in the conversation to be a keeper center wing, and I don't think he's going to be too highly owned from here on out.
Yep. No, he's going to be pod too as well. As the segment mentions, I think he's going to remain pod. I think people are going to struggle to bring him in. But he was very popular before he got injured. He started the season on fire. My pod of the week is not my most inspiring one ever, but Grant Anderson from the Storm. He looks to have nailed that role on the maybe right wing for the Storm. Unfortunately, Warbrick doesn't look like he's coming back anytime soon. And Grant Anderson has been preferred to Suafia Longo, I believe. He put up big. We know he's got a ceiling, 133. The Storm only missed that round 15. So if you are covered, he then plays all the way through and the Storm have a very nice run. So very pod. But if you're looking for someone who could go on a run at a cut price, I don't mind it as a punt. All right, guys, that will see us out tonight. Finn, thank you so much for joining us. Welcome back anytime, and best of luck for this weekend and for the rest of the season. We'll be hoping to see you get home back up into the top 10 and beyond.
Same to you, Matt. I know you're high up as well. No, pleasure to be here, boys. Thanks so much.
And Danny Boy, enjoy your Tuesday back in London, and we'll chat to you later on in the week.
Yep. Cheers, Maddie. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We'll catch you later on at the Watch Along.